Well, I'm getting over this cold that started last week, so my voice is better, but hopefully this will go okay still today. To be or not to be honored is our question today. Well, that's our title today. Luke 14, 1 through 14 is our text. In today's text, Jesus goes to a meal. It's a Sabbath day meal, so probably traditionally on the Sabbath it would have been prepared the day before. And related to, I don't know what their Sabbath day schedule would have looked like, but somehow related to worship and hearing from God's word that day. Apparently there were many people there at this particular meal. A Pharisee was hosting it who was, well off and apparently able to welcome quite a few into his home. Many of them known to the Pharisee, positions of importance as well in as they related to him, and just a regular Sabbath meal though is what they're enjoying here. And Jesus interacts with the people as he is there enjoying this meal with them. Several different people that he interacts with. He interacts with a man with an illness. He interacts with the Pharisees that are in attendance, the others that are in attendance there, other guests at the meal, and then the host himself directly. And each different action, although the themes seem a little bit different in these interactions and what Jesus does and what Jesus says, there is a theme that is running through all of them. And so we want to be listening for that theme as we hear it today. Our text again is Luke 14, 1 through 14. I'll invite you to stand as you are able as I read that this morning. Luke 14, 1 through 14, reading in Jesus' name. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out?" And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us. Thank you for this day that you have given us and that we could gather together here and hear from your word. I ask that as we consider this, the interactions that Jesus has with these people, that you would guide our hearts and minds to hear what you have for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll invite any of the kids that want to come up to the front here. Got a few of them. All right. Come on up. Can you see what's in that picture there? What does that look like? People? People eating, probably, right? You see that? A lot of people eating? Doesn't look like they have a lot of food on the table there, but it's supposed to be a banquet or a good meal. Have you ever been at a meal where there are assigned places where you need to sit? Have you ever been to one of those? I don't know, maybe. Have you? Maybe. Why do you think people might do that? Put certain places for people to sit. What's one reason? Do you have any idea? No? No thoughts? Maybe it's just easier to find where, a big meal. Maybe it's just easier to find a place to sit if you already have it assigned for you, right? Maybe sometimes there is somebody that is being honored. Maybe it's a birthday party, or maybe it's another kind of celebration. A wedding often will have assigned seating. You sit at a certain place. And so there are some places that are for the people that are maybe more important. So maybe it's family gets to be closer to the person that's being celebrated, or things like that, right? So maybe you haven't been a part of that. Are there other ways that if we go to a meal where we might have a way to show somebody that they're more important? Do you know? Let's say we had a meal at church here. How do we usually serve the food? How do we usually do it? You guys have an idea, don't you? You're all quiet today. What's that? Well, I'm just asking, like, how do we get food normally? Where do we go to get food? How do we get it? No. The store, yeah. No. I mean, like, let's say we have a meal after church. We have a meal. We have food together. You need to get food. What do you do? You get what? You get the food. Where do you get it? The kitchen, maybe. Does somebody usually hand it to you? What do you do often? You get it. I might have to guide you a little bit. Do you get in line somewhere? Yeah, and you walk through the line and you put different things on your plate. It's not always that way, but a lot of times we do meals that way, right, if we eat together. How could you show somebody kindness or show them that they might be important? What could you do? What's that? Oh, you could help get them food. Yeah, especially if they have trouble getting the food. Yeah, how else could you do it? What might you want to do when the meal is ready? Go there right away, right? Get at the front of the line. So how could you show somebody else, let somebody else be important? Yeah, you could let them go in front of you, right? Well, Jesus has some examples while eating. There are a couple other things that we're talking about today too. But there's a little bit about, are we important? Are other people important? How do we show that? Do you know what honor means? To be honored? What does that mean? It kind of means talking about making somebody important, right? So somebody can make themselves important and hope to get honor for themselves, or they can be honored by somebody else, right? So listen for those things here today. You can take a couple back with you. All right, thanks for coming up. You can go back to your seats now. Thank you. Yeah, sometimes people are a little nervous, not sure what answer I'm looking for, right? That's okay. Yeah. Get a little bit of water there. All right, well, as we think about these interactions, Jesus has, you know, I guess maybe kind of three interactions here, maybe a couple parts to one of them maybe, but the first one really takes the setting in mind, that this is the Sabbath day. And that's important on this first interaction here. We're in the house of a prominent Pharisee, as we heard. There are many people there, so there are a lot of people observing. Other Pharisees are there. Jesus was being watched. Jesus was being watched. Now, a lot of these are just brief details, as Luke puts them in. But we have some hints. If we've been reading through Luke, we have some hints as to what this means. He's being watched. They want to see what kind of actions Jesus does. Now, maybe it's simply out of an honest desire to know, is his teaching good? It might be, as we read in many parts of the Gospels, it might be a desire to catch him in something. Yeah, we don't get the particular flavor of how he was being watched here, but we know he was being watched. And really, Luke commenting on that is setting us up for something. Because we really just have a few brief details of what happens here. But Luke is having us pay attention to the fact that Jesus is doing something and people are being carefully watching how he interacts with things and how he acts. And so we have here a man with much swelling, probably what we would call edema, right? Something like that, swelling in his body. There's no request made. There's no question being asked. There's simply a situation being presented, and yet Jesus interacts with it here. He asks a question. As he can tell, he's being watched. They're observing. He knows the situation, what's going on. And so he asks, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Now, if you've read through the Bible, as we read through it, we find there's a lot of work that's limited on the Sabbath. Don't do these things on the Sabbath. Don't do that. Don't do this. Reduce the amount of the distance that you would walk. Do all of these things. So you rest, and so really the focus is on God. Resting with God. So now it's important to know that healing was not directly prevented on the Sabbath. It's not like God said, thou shalt not heal and do miracles on the Sabbath. Now, I suppose not very many people would do miracles, so maybe he didn't have to address that directly. But there wasn't a direct commandment against it, although custom limited much activity. So even some of the things that weren't directly prohibited by God, they were limited further by the people to make sure that they were following what God said. And you could imagine that, healing, does that work? I don't know. The person who says it, does he do work? Does he or she do work if somebody performs a miracle? Now, in this case, you could say, Jesus was working, even if a normal person doing a miracle wouldn't be, because it's really God doing the miracle. But in this case, he is God, could you make that argument? Although they didn't believe it. So the question is it lawful? Is it lawful to do this? They were counting it as work. Is it work? Is it lawful? Well, Jesus addresses other things that related to the Sabbath in other places. But in this case, first of all, they remained silent. They didn't have an answer. There wasn't a good answer to that. Healing wasn't prohibited, except that they kind of prohibited it, for whatever reason. Maybe because some that claimed to heal really did do a lot of work, and maybe it wasn't a miracle, so maybe that's why they saw it as working. Whatever the case, they had no answer for him. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. That's all it says. That's a pretty simple interaction. I feel like that would stand out in the experience of that man that was healed. You have swelling in your body, and then all of a sudden there's no swelling. That would be pretty significant, I think. You're feeling pretty good. Walking away pretty good. But no more is mentioned of that. And, the way Luke says it, we can imagine that the man was healed, and he probably did just go on his way. Maybe there was a little thank you there or something. There's no more interaction there. The interaction comes again with these Pharisees, these leaders that are there. And Jesus asked them, if one of you has a child or an ox that falls into the well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out? They didn't respond to Jesus' question. But Jesus knew what was going on in their minds. He also knew how they would act in different situations where someone is in need. He said, wouldn't you do that if there was a need? They might respond with the argument, he could have been healed tomorrow. But think about the life of the man there. Does it feel like he has time to wait till tomorrow? If somebody's got a lot of sickness, I don't think anybody would say, I'll wait one more day. I'd love to wait one more day to get healed. It's significant to them, right? And they, again, had nothing to say there. Now, as we think about this application of this interaction for us, the Sabbath does not have the same meaning for us. So what does this mean for us? What is kind of behind this interaction here? Well, if we look at this together with the other conversations that Jesus has at this meal, we notice and we pick out the character of pride, the lack of humility, a high consideration of self-importance. Why was it that these Pharisees would think that it was wrong to heal on the Sabbath? Well, part of it was that they saw themselves as following God's rules. And that made them more important even than caring for this man that was in their midst with a serious illness. How does that hit us as we consider our lives? Now, we probably are not considering healing people in our lives, right? That's probably, I've never had that happen where I've healed somebody. It hasn't happened to me. I don't know if it's happened to any of you. We pray often. I believe God does heal directly, miraculously sometimes. But most of the time, this is really a consideration of serving others, of helping. Whether that means physically helping in a time of physical need or of spiritual need, of being ready to bring the gospel to somebody. And as we think about the Sabbath for them, which was a good thing given by God, to rest, to reflect on God and what He has done, to be with family, to do those things. Those are good things. We might find other things in life that God has directed, that God has given us, that are also good things, that may sometimes be like the Sabbath for these Pharisees. Being good stewards of the resources that God has given us. Being concerned about good appearances, not outward appearances, but good appearances in relation to doctrine, to what we believe. Sometimes we may avoid helping somebody because we're concerned about the message that somebody might perceive by what we're doing. Especially when it comes to dealing with lifestyles that go against God's design for people. If we want to help somebody engaged in some of that, our helping may look like encouraging of that lifestyle. And so we may be concerned with how does this come across with what we believe. We may rightly be concerned with taking care of our family and being with our family, and they're important. And God says to do that. If we think about the theme of Sabbath, we may take time to rest. That's great as well. So the question is, do any of these sometimes good things take precedence in our lives that may indicate that for us those things are more important, or following those things are more important to us and about making us be important as far as doing the best things in these areas, but then we neglect following God in other areas that He has directed us to help people? There's more about this importance than in the next section, too. The guests are coming in. There must be quite a few of them. There are choices to be had of placement, where they are. Now, this is an informal meal, but in a culture probably that really respects the hierarchy of individuals and their places of importance is probably what's coming into play here. There wouldn't be assigned places, but it would be easy to have more important places. The host would be on one part of this, and closer to the host would be a place of honor. So as the people come in, they're looking for that place of honor. And Jesus takes note of all this. And as He watches the guests acting, He says, He describes for them a wedding banquet. So a situation where the places of honor would be more clear even than in this. And so He tells them a parable. And He says, when you're invited to a wedding feast, don't take the place of honor. Someone more distinguished may have been invited. And so the host, if you're sitting in that place of honor, the host will come to you and say, I'm sorry, I need this spot for this person here. And then at that point, you may have to go down to the spot of lowest importance, lowest honor, because where you might normally have been is now already taken, and you've just kind of embarrassed yourself, and you have to just go down to that spot. So He says, don't do that. That may happen. He says, instead, when you're invited, take the lowest place. Just take the lowest place, and your host can come in and move you up to a more important position, a better place. And then people will notice that. Oh, even if you're only going halfway, it's still better than where you originally were, right? And you can have honor. Now, that seems good. Don't take the honor. Allow it to be given. Right? Don't take it for yourself. Let someone else honor you. There's something kind of hiding behind this, though, a little bit, too. There's still, it seems like Jesus is giving them instructions on how to be honored in front of people. And we might ask the question, is that really what Jesus is getting at? This looks like good advice for, and we might find it today in the sense of like some self-deprecating comments sometimes, right? You go to some place and you're a little bit unsatisfied with what you had to put on to wear for that, whatever the get-together is. And so as you get there, you make a comment about your appearance. Oh, I didn't have time to get something nicer and put it on. And the response is, oh, no, you look wonderful. Right? Or for somebody in sports, I kept messing up on the field today. I kept making mistakes. And, you know, maybe your action was actually pretty good. You know, your play was pretty good. But, you know, you kind of play it down a little bit. And the response then is, oh, no, you played one of the best on the team. You were great. Or, I might be thinking right now, you know, I'm kind of bungling this sermon right at this point. And then I hear, no, you're doing a great job. Keep going. You know, something like that, right? You know, this sense of false humility, you know, finding the best way that we can to be honored by others. And sometimes in a sneaky way. So that Jesus noticed the guests taking the place of honor. And it seems like what Jesus was saying in response to that was, here's a better way to get honored. Yeah, here's a better way, better advice. Well, is that really Jesus' goal, to give us advice on how to be better honored in society, to get it legitimately, in a sense, by being honored by others instead of taking it for ourselves? Well, we might notice, too, that Luke says that Jesus told them a parable, and until now, it's really not a parable. It's just, you know, kind of advice or an observation of the way that things work. The parable is introduced now in the last verse of that part here, where he says, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. It's not stated here, but we get the picture, and if we understand kind of the ways of talking, kind of in a third person or not active but passive, in a passive sense, about being having something done to you, that often the phrasing it in that way is a way of talking about what God does without mentioning God's name. So being cautious about mentioning God's name, that was something that was common. And it's not that they would never mention God's name, but Jesus seems to be using that approach here. And so he says, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And we get the picture that it is God who is doing the humbling or the exalting. And Jesus is now shifting this to a larger scene, bigger than what they're thinking about. Those who think highly of themselves will be brought low. Those who acknowledge their humble status will be raised up. And this is not a trick. You can't pull tricks on God. He knows the heart. In this case, if we make a comparison to what Jesus is saying about the banquet, he talked about people being, you know, take the lowest place so that the host might come up and bring you to a place that he feels you deserve, right? But when it comes to God honoring those who take the lowest place, there is no higher place to be brought to that we deserve. We really only deserve the lowest place, the place of least importance. All of us least important because of our rebellion against God. And so when God raises up, when God raises up those who are humble, it's an action that he's doing and bringing up to a place that we don't deserve and honoring in a way that we don't deserve, but he does it. He brings us there. If we turn this flip the coin over, you know, maybe. We turn now to the host as Jesus does that. And he says, you know, another way of getting honor is by being around important people. Often that makes someone important. Your importance rubs off on each other, right? All the important people get together. They're all important together, and they make each other even more important. And Jesus says, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. If you give a luncheon for others, inviting all the important people gives importance to the host. And Jesus is just saying, watch your motivation here. You may be invited back. You might get into a good circle with good people. You might have all these good things with others. The question is, should we never do this? Should we never invite people that we know, people that are important to us? Yeah, well, I don't think he's quite saying that, is he? That we should never do that. But what does he present as the alternative here? He says, but when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. If we continued on reading in this chapter, we would find that the banquet continues, and somebody brings up the heavenly banquet. And as we find Jesus describing the heavenly banquet, he says, he gives a parable about those who are invited to it don't come. They don't see it as important enough for them. And so in that sense, then, in that case, Jesus says, who will be brought into that heavenly banquet? He uses the same description of people. The poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Those in need. Those who cannot give repayment in this life. Jesus says, if you invite those people in and hold a banquet for them, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. What would our repayment be at the resurrection? In what way would we be repaid? By some extra reward in heaven? I don't think so. Could be, but you know, it's more likely something else. Could it be that it's the joy of seeing them be part of God's kingdom as well as we enter his kingdom after the resurrection? Again, as I said, in this life, should we never invite our friends over for a meal? Should we only invite those who are in need? Or again, is Jesus getting at something else here? Is he getting at the motivation before hosting somebody, having them over, or other ways of giving? Do we do it expecting honor in return? Or do we expect to help somebody, whether poor or otherwise, or family and friends, and help anybody that needs help? Invite friends over, and others as well. And don't overlook then the poor and the needy. What do all these different things have in common as we find the man being healed and Jesus' interaction with the Pharisees? His interaction with the guests, telling them not to seek out the honorable places. His interaction with the host, telling him don't seek out all the honorable people, but serve others. The common theme here is humility. The humility in serving God, and that's how we see it from our actions. When confronted with opportunities for serving, don't just consider how it looks, how other people will see it, but serve God as he serves us. When living in this world, don't do things in quest for honor and importance, but serve others as God has served us and as God gives importance to those who trust in him and he raises them up. As God brings us to himself, as we trust in him, and as he honors us by forgiving our sins and bringing us into his family, as we see our low position naturally and are brought up by him, we have the opportunity then to serve as he serves and do that in whatever context we are in. May God grant that to us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the way that you serve us. Thank you that even though our tendency is to want to honor ourselves, to think highly of ourselves, we thank you for your word that convicts us and draws us to see that we are really nothing. And yet, as we see that, as we acknowledge that, as we confess that to you, and as we trust in you, you honor us and make us your children and bring us to be with you. And so we ask that we would serve others in the same way that we see you serving us, and that we may rejoice at many who come into your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.